Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 73 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a wild trip through the John Hughes comedy Planes, Trains, and Automobiles 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Malkovich, Minute host, Austin Pryor. Welcome Hello. Back, Austin. Hello. Whoosh. I did your whoosh for you.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Something like
there
that.
There you go. Yeah, something like that. All right.
I usually do a few takes.
No need here. It's fine.
Yeah.
We take whatever you give us.
Right on.
All right. So minute 73 begins with Neil having a change of heart and ends with Del making a prediction. So yesterday we ended the minute with Neil opening the door to the motel room, looking out at Del, who is starting to get covered in bits of snow that never really happened. I know it sounds like I'm annoyed at that. But, you know. Yeah. What can I tell you? So Neil walks out, is standing in the doorway. He looks at Adele in the car and decides to invite him in and says, "You're going to freeze to death out there." So he's finally beginning to show compassion, yeah. Which I like. I like how they do this because this, in my opinion, this is a movie about Neil. It's not a movie about Adele. It's how does Neil change over the course of this, you know, 48 hours, 90, it's less than 72 hours. So yeah. this 60-hour trip that he needs to, you know, make. And, you know, he does change. His personality changes. And this is another proof. This is more proof that this is, he's got a crack in his armor here. You know, the way that he's starting to show compassion. He's you know, Del is warming up to him, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
By the way it is. And as soon as he said that, Del's eyes like open up really quickly and it looks like he's maybe a little bit startled or shocked or something like that. And at this point, the music actually changes. I mean, you discussed yesterday a little bit how much the music in this movie annoys you, but you know, it does change here to a different tempo and speed and stuff like that, and I like the way they do it because it's trying to tell us something different about them, you know, and it's like a little more upbeat because now it's no longer a somber moment, which is what we were having right beforehand, you know, and then Del turns towards Neil, you know.
Yeah, this is it's a beautiful moment, and then we go from that to this, maybe I'm skipping ahead, where we go to them.
No, we go to the room.
Yeah, and we go to the room.
We get to see them
and
in the motel
love
room.
That transition because it's just the contrast between the, you know, the cold and the outdoors and the, and then the time jump to there's, you know, packets, empty packets of Doritos everywhere, and there's all these little bottles there they've been already drinking, and it just, and it's quite humorous, and I don't even know, maybe it's meant to be a gag the way they cut, but whether it's meant to have that humor to it or not, it's just great storytelling because this is just exactly what the movie needs at this point. It's exactly what the audience needs, what the characters need, because if it kept going at that pace of like another, because even watching it today, you know, sometimes I'm just laughing, just absolutely laughing out loud. And sometimes I'm like, oh God, another thing is going wrong. Another, you know, which is part of the fun of it. But
yeah.
They would be really pushing it if something else went wrong or Del does something else stupid now. Whereas we get this lovely moment and the shot is set up so nicely again, cinematography wise, like that, just we've got Del reclining. And again, kind of to the point you were making about Del having an arc and Neil has an arc in the movie and Del doesn't really, is like Del just looks like Del in this shot, but Neil is like, this is the most relaxed we've seen him.
Yes.
Cause he's like half sitting up on one elbow in bed and he's got the drink in his hand and you can just tell that they've let their hair down a bit more. And it's just great, great storytelling. And it's all there on the screen, you know, without, before any words are said.
Completely. I mean, again, as you said, we get to see that there's a slight passage of time. I mean, Dell is in his pajamas. Neil hasn't changed, but Neil is interestingly underneath the bedspread. You know, he's
Yes.
lying under the bedspread. You know,
Yeah.
maybe it's because, maybe it's because he's, wearing his underwear and doesn't want to be walking around in underwear. I
That's
don't
what I
know.
thought. Yeah.
Okay, it could be. Could be. And I mean, the way that the room is set up is just great. I mean,
Yeah.
you as you mentioned, you have Dell on the lounge, reclining in the Barca lounge or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Neil is under the bed. We get to see there are all of these little bags of potato chips, or a little bit later we'll also know that there are Doritos
Yes.
bags in some of these, and it's just all strewn around the room. There's like four empty packages of some snacks on the ground. There's a chair next to Dell that has packages on them. The bed, Neil's bed, not even, I mean, Dell's bed is immaculate. There's nothing there. Okay. But Neil's bed has all of these packages strewn around. Okay. Were you, oh, well, 1 second, I'll get there in a second. So you also, we once again, they get to see stuff about the room. We saw last week that they have the wagon wheel, headboards, but here we get a side view. So we get to see there's this wagon lamp that has like this red light in there, which might be there for romantic purposes. Not that they need it, but I'm saying it might be that, that if a
An
couple is there in
amorous
a
couple,
romantic
yeah.
situation. Yeah. So, they have the little red light there. Then there's a picture on the wall of another, there's a wagon being pulled by what looks like a cow or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the one thing that really shocks me about this whole thing is the amount of little bottles of booze that are all around
It
this room.
is
Did you try counting
crazy.
them?
I didn't. I was just amazed because my main thought was like, well, wait a second. I see little bottles of booze like that in a motel. I immediately think of the minibar, of course. And so if they raided the minibar, how the hell are they going to pay for it? Of
Right.
course, they're not. But that seems very out of character. I know Neil's character is developing and changing, but like, I wonder how long it took Dell to convince Neil to just, come on, you know what I mean? We'll pay them back once
No,
you get them.
no. I,
Okay,
I'm gonna,
that comes, that's
I'm gonna let
covered.
you in on something. I'm gonna let you in on something that I figured out. But
Okay,
just when I
great.
was rewatching doing the research for the scene, I've seen this movie dozens of times and I
Right.
never noticed it. I always believed what you believed, that they raided the little refrigerator and took all these bottles. Okay. First of all, I counted 23 bottles that I could see. Okay. And I'm assuming there are more. Okay. There's also you can see that the picture of Dell's wife is also
Has
next to the
been
bed.
popped up on the
That's right.
bureau,
And
whatever.
you see Dell's clothing and his jacket also strewn over a chair on the side of his bed. Okay. But so I always believed that they raided the refrigerator and stole all of these little bottles. But this scene actually has a very big clue to the fact that that is not true. Okay. I always wondered the same thing. They didn't have any money. He had $17 and a really nice watch, or $2 and a Casio. So they didn't do that. They couldn't steal, or they could, but the number of bottles, I mean, you wouldn't find, first of all, 23 bottles in a refrigerator. Now, next to Dell on the ground is his sports bag, which in this shot is actually open. Okay, what that means to me is that all of these things, these bags of chips, the Doritos, whatever, and all the bottles of booze are in his sports bag.
It's
You
his
even see that
travel
there's a,
stash.
that's right. He has like a little carry case that's on the edge of Neil's bed, which has a whole bunch of pieces, a whole bunch of bottles of booze in there also. So
And
this.
I bet he got the reason for them being small bottles is he got them off some sales rep. that he did a favor.
He for, either got him off of sales rep, or yeah. he got them maybe on airplanes.
Yes,
you know there yeah, there are different yeah. places where he's able to accumulate all of this booze, and yeah. he's been
rather than
walking
having
around
a couple of bottles of, you know, hard liquor of just, you know, normal yes. sized bottles. It
right.
fits Del's character that he would end up with lots of tiny ones because of some wheeling and dealing he did or some. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then we have a briefcase that's leaning against Del's bed also. I'm assuming it's supposed to be Del's briefcase because all of Neil's stuff was burnt up.
Yeah.
But I don't recall seeing this little briefcase beforehand. I've seen a suitcase, but
yeah.
I don't remember, but it's possible that I'm just not remembering correctly. And then we have this whole conversation between the two of them where Del then says to Neil, so how's your drink? It was good.
Yeah.
Go for another one. And then he says, where have you been?
yeah. I
have
love
you been,
that.
Have you been to Italy? Have you had amaretto? Now, what do you know what amaretto is made out of?
I don't. Yeah. No.
Okay, so amaretto, first of all, it's Italian for a little bitter.
Oh.
Okay, which it's a sweet Italian liqueur that yeah. originated in Serrano. Okay, and it could be made of apricot kernels, bitter almonds, peach stones, or almonds themselves.
All right.
Okay, and it can be served as a beverage drunk by itself, or it can be used as an ingredient to create several different types of popular mixed drinks.
Yeah.
Or some people even add it to coffee.
Wow.
And people use it for different types of cooking also. It's also a culinary application. It has a culinary application.
That actually sounds nice. I actually want to try it now. Yeah.
All right. There you go. So then he goes, have you had the amaretto? So Neil responds, I had an amaretto and this is a gin. Mm. And he's drinking gin. So what is gin? Do you know what gin is?
I know it's it's a like made from flowers, isn't it? Elderflower.
It's made from a juniper berry.
Juniper, yeah, but you can. There's an elderflower gin you can get, but juniper, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and it originated as a medicinal liqueur that monks and alchemists across Europe used to make.
Mm.
It was quite often used in Italy, in Flanders, and in the Netherlands. And then after the introduction of Genever, which is a Dutch and Belgian liqueur, it became in England, it became very popular for to use because it was originally considered as a medicine, which I always find funny that, here we got this medicine and let's get drunk from it.
Yeah.
And this pretty much happened in 1688 during the Glorious Revolution, which was led by William of Orange. It's most
Willy.
Commonly there you go. It's most commonly consumed mixed with tonic water and gin, so therefore it's known as a gin and tonic.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm not a big drinker in general. So,
but no, neither am I.
But
I don't drink. I wouldn't even go that far and say I'm not a big drinker. I'm not a drinker.
right. And do you ever drink, or would you ever drink?
Nope.
All right. Nope. So you're full on. Nope. I'm a bit more like I got
drunk once, and that was more than enough for me.
That was enough. Okay. Yeah, I've been drunk maybe four times. So yeah, but yeah. So it's like, I don't know my you know all my different boozes and stuff, but I do enjoy a drink when I kind of give myself the chance. But of course, you know, if we were talking about sleep before, and if I, you know, in my 40s now, and if I decide I'll have a couple of drinks, I'll go mad, you know. It's like I'm paying for it for the rest of the week, and
because you'll be talking to yourself.
I'll be talking. I'll lose my
Austin,
inhibitions
maybe I
and I'll talk to myself
that,
even with people around. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. And then the response is, what gin? And then he goes, give me that. Is there a tequila there?
Mm.
So, what do you know about tequila?
Oof.
Do you know what it's made from?
No, I don't.
Okay,
tequila is
made from a blue agave, the blue agave
yeah.
plant. And it's usually found around the city of Tequila.
which is nice.
65 kilometers or 40 miles northwest of Guadalajara.
Okay, so cool.
Anyone looking for tequila in Mexico, you can find it. North.
I think it might be pronounced agave. I'm not.
It's possible. It is possible. That's fine. A blue agave. Okay, it could be. Yeah. So and it's something that can only be made in certain areas of Mexico according to the law. Yeah, you can't make it everywhere.
Like champagne. It's a protected term. You can't call it tequila if it's not made in that region. Yeah interesting. Yeah,
completely.
And
then they basically at this point, you know, Neil then says a little Mexican trip, and he goes tequila, and he throws the little bottle. Del tosses the bottle to Neil, who catches it, and he goes, "Here you go, coming up." And then Neil holds up one bottle of tequila and a bag of Doritos and says, "Is this a good combo or what?" So what do you know about Doritos?
I know that in 1987, when this movie came out, I had never heard of Doritos. And Doritos didn't come to the Irish market until like mid-2000s, I'd say, 2003 or something like that. So they're a very recent. You see, the poor international makers of crisps and chips and nachos and things find it hard to penetrate the Irish market because we invented the crisp. Listeners to Malkovich Minute might know that I've been talking about crisps a lot lately and saying the word crisps enough times to irritate people.
Okay.
So that was the April Fool's thing. So we didn't get Pringles until like late 90s.
Oh wow.
You know? And because we have Tato, we have King, we have Hunky Dory, we don't need these international usurpers, you know.
Okay. Makes
so
sense.
I will have like a nacho, I'll have a Dorito at, you know, with dips at parties from time to time. But in general we're Tato or King over here.
Okay, so Doritos is an American brand of flavored tortilla chips that were started. The company was started in 1964, or the brand was started in 1964 by Frito-Lay, which is a subsidiary of PepsiCo. The original Doritos were flavored, and then they started flavoring them 2 years later in 1966 when they started selling toasted corn. And then they had taco flavored in 1967, nacho cheese in 1972. And then in the 80s, they had a whole bunch of different flavors that they came out. The term Dorito is actually a contraction of the Spanish Doradito, which means little fried and golden thing. It was made in California. Right near Disneyland during the early 60s. And, you know, someone just thought of the idea of taking the traditional Mexican snack known as totopo and creating something similar to them.
Good stuff. Bit of cultural appropriation there.
All right. And at this point, basically, he says, no, probably not. Del doesn't think it's a good combo. I love the look on Del's face because it gives us, it reminds us, you know, of all the things that he had in his bag months ago when we talked about it, when it was all strewn around the bathroom sink. So he's probably, he's thinking to himself, okay, where's my Malax? Where's my Tums? Where's my Pepto-Bismol? Something like that, you know? And then Del picks up another one and says, me? I'm going to go back to Jamaica. And then John Candy, Del, starts giving us a little bit of a Jamaican accent where he goes, Jamaica, man, go to Jamaica.
Jamaica, man. Yeah.
Have some rum, man. Dig it. Irie, man.
Which just made me think of a little taste of what's to come with
That's
Cool
right.
Running.
I love the connection. That's great.
Yeah, I doubt he does a Canadian, or I doubt he does a Jamaican accent in Cool Runnings. There's plenty of other people to do those.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, it is a little preview.
Right. So
Cool Runnings, I think, is like 93. Wow, that late.
It was one of his final movies.
Oh,
he passed away in 94. So, and you know.
Yeah. 94. Yeah. And Canadian Bacon, I think, was his last film.
Canadian Bacon was his last released film, but his last film was, I think it was with like Matthew Perry or something. No, it was with Richard, what was his name? Richard Lewis. The two of them had a movie, Wagons East.
Oh, right.
Wagons East was his final movie where he died while they were filming the movie. So... they had to, I think, kill his character off along the way or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right. So he mentions rum here. What do you know about rum?
Well, rum just makes me think of Cuba. I went to Cuba.
Save that for your off the beaten track story. Why not?
Okay. it's not much of a story. Just that, like, not being a big drinker, I took on the vices of Cuba when I was there, of smoking cigars and drinking. And so for the holiday, I kind of became a smoker and a drinker, which is not my thing at all. And I discovered the joys of coffee. So the three major, I was never a coffee drinker before, and I shouldn't be. It's a bad idea for me. But I was, it got me through the holiday. I was able to enjoy, it despite my, sleep deprivation problems. So, I'll just always think of
right. So rum is basically fermented sugarcane molasses or sugarcane juice. And most of these, most of the rums are produced in somewhere in the Caribbean, most famously in Jamaica and in Cuba. There are also places that in the Philippines and Taiwan that also make it. And it's something that they commonly use in cocktails. So a lot of people drink rum every so often.
Yeah, a Cuba Libre being the cocktail, very pretty basic cocktail, just rum, cola, and a squeeze of lime. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. And then he mentions Irie. Do you know what that is?
I actually don't. It's just a standard Jamaican, thing to say. And it comes up a lot. I've listened to a fair bit of reggae in my time. I should know what Irie means.
Right. It basically means cool, okay, nice.
Irie.
Yeah. And at this point, the two of them start laughing once again. And then Del begins to say, "Oh, shit. You know, when I'm dead and buried," and then the minute gets cut off. So he's sort of like, it's interesting. It sounds like he's making some sort of prediction here.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's sad, but that's basically what it is that we're dealing with here.
Yeah. And it's part of what happens when you, get boozy,
you get
there's laughter, and then there's these melancholy moods that come along with it as well. So it's really nice that they've done and we're in that phase of the movie where we can be a little bit more reflective and a little bit more melancholy. And it's just really nicely. They balance those things so nicely here. Yeah.
Yeah. They do a great job of it. So that's basically how this minute ends. The script has two lines for this entire minute.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
And the two lines are Del's sitting in a chair. It says inside the motel room later. Mm-hmm. Del's sitting in a chair, Neil's on the bed. They're eating sunflower seeds. So this entire scene with the Doritos and the booze was added on the spot.
Wow. I'm glad they did. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it works really well. It shows it's a great bonding moment as opposed to the two of them sitting eating sunflower seeds.
Definitely. Yeah. Because like sunflower seeds is, you can kind of see where they went because it's something like they're making do. They're like, well, what do I even have? I guess I have some travel snacks. Oh, I got a bag of sunflower seeds. We don't have any money. What have we got? But it also makes sense that Del would have a stash of booze for his travels and that. Now, what now is the time you're going to take them out after all they've been through, you know?
Yeah.
I think completely. It makes sense. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. All right. So every Wednesday we have a segment called Hughes Hump Day, where my guests will give their top five John Hughes movies. So what have you got for us, Austin?
Yeah, well, I was just looking at the filmography there, and there's still a good lot of them that I haven't seen, or there's some that I haven't, like, I couldn't really think of Pretty in Pink. It's been so long since I've seen it. So it's kind of down to a five. There are only five, and I'm including some that he directed and some that he just wrote.
Okay, no problem.
So at number five here, I'm going to go with Uncle Buck, which I'm kind of – it's I love John Candy, and at the time I was, you know, a kid who was – I loved Macaulay Culkin, and I wanted to, you know, be an actor like him. And, you know, he was a kid, I was a kid, you know. So I kind of liked seeing him in things. But I'm not a big fan of Uncle Buck. I'd be interested to see it again and see what I think of it. But it never, I think even as a kid, I wasn't that crazy about it. But that's a few John Hughes films I have on my list
that makes it in. That's fair.
What do you think of Uncle Buck? Do you think it's worth checking out?
I thought it was fun. I don't think it holds up as well as it did when it came out.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
it was much funnier watching it as a kid than yeah. it is now.
So next up, I'm going to go with Breakfast Club at number four. This is one that, again, I wasn't really the right age to see a lot of these when they came out. I was a bit too young for a lot of these kind of teenage ones that John Hughes did. So I didn't see this until, like, well into my 20s, and I really enjoyed it. There's some great performances in it, and it does capture that kind of teenage feel, although I got really annoyed at when Molly Ringwald kisses the guy at the end of the movie, because I was just like, that didn't feel earned. It didn't feel like it was coming. And it was like they were doing the thing of we hate each other, but really we like each other. But he was so extra cruel and horrible. And I didn't see that this character hated herself enough to kind of, you know, make out with him right at the end. So I don't know if that's what people feel at that, but that's the kind of big takeaway I had. Okay. And again, I would happily revisit and happily, put that opinion up for reappraisal. So number three, I'm going to go Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Great movie that I actually haven't seen in years. I haven't seen it. Maybe in my 20s I caught it once. I really want to get into it again. But it made a huge impression on me as a kid. And it was just like, it was, it was slightly too grown up of a movie for me. And it was a bit, it had a bit of a Forbidden Fruit vibe to it, which is, you know, part of the memory of it and everything. So Bueller. And actually, speaking of Ferris Bueller, the famous teacher at the start is
Ben.
I thought of his name. Ben. Yeah. Ben Stein.
There you go.
And he turns up in an absolutely tiny role in Planes, Trains, and
Automobiles. Yeah, we talked about that months ago.
Yeah, which is really, really strange. And again, I must have been like, was that cut down? You know?
No, his team wasn't.
yeah, strange that they've got him for it. But anyway, so that's Ferris Bueller. At number two, I'm going to put Home Alone. And just again, like I say, I think you were the perfect
age for it when it came out.
I was perfect age. I'm the same age as Macaulay Culkin. And I was like obsessed with this idea of being an actor, and it's a very funny movie, and again, I haven't watched it in a good few years. We did I was on the Next Scene podcast for Christmas last year there, and I did a 15 minute chunk of Home Alone 2, which has its moments but doesn't really hold up, you know. And so but it did make me want to revisit Home Alone. And at number one, I hate to be predictable, but it's got to be Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. All right.
Nothing wrong with being predictable.
This movie, absolutely, yeah. This movie works for me. It holds up. I had such a pleasure watching it today again. Huge laughs and the pathos that just really hits home and is just the right amount of schmaltzy and sentimental for me to get to be tear jerked. Are you a crier in movies?
No, generally not. But there are movies that do get me. They you know, I can be emotional with certain scenes in movies. There's certain scenes that every time I see them, I will, you know, start. I wouldn't necessarily say welling up, but I start feeling very sad, and you know, I feel for the characters. So yeah, we get those.
Go on. What name a couple?
You want me to tell you offhand? This is something I need to think about. It's not something that.
No, that's fine. Because I have a few big ones that I can think of, but also just in general, I will weep in films. I would just have to drop a hat. And of course, I'm watching a lot of kids movies nowadays. We all had COVID in my house recently, so we relied on TV. So I was, you know, watching movies with my daughter and all these Pixar movies and Disney movies that are just absolutely killing me. I'm just like trying to keep my daughter's spirits up, and she sometimes gets worried when I'm crying that there's something wrong. It's like, no, it's just a movie, you know.
Right. Now I usually cry up at patriotic moments and stuff like that. You know, those are the things.
Okay. Yeah.
Not necessarily sad moments, but something that I'm like,
okay,
wow, I can't believe that the character did that. That's just great. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. A sacrifice for the greater good, and would it be patriotic American or patriotic Israeli Jewish diaspora?
It could be anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not specific. Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that top five.
Good stuff.
Every day we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track, where either myself or my guest will give a little story about an adventure or misadventure that one of us may have had over the course of the journey of life. So you got one for us?
Well, I was just thinking about, I couldn't really think of proper stories, but just the little kind of feel of, based on what you were saying yesterday, cinema in other countries, you know, and myself and my wife have traveled a bit, and we really, we love going to the cinema, and we've been to a couple of things, and you just get a different idea. When you were talking about films in German and stuff, but we were in this small town in Austria. We were near Salzburg. It can't have been Salzburg. It must have been. It was when we were traveling around that part of the world anyway. And we were just kind of really wanted to do something that night, but it was a small sleepy town. There was nothing doing, and it was just really cold outside, so we're just like, well, let's go, nothing else is open, so let's go to the cinema, knowing that it would be dubbed. So we got to see Juno in German.
Okay.
And
wow.
we had both seen it already, so we were able to enjoy it, and it was just, it's a nice memory because it was just fun watching a movie that you know, and I have a tiny bit of German, so I was trying to pick out, you know, phrases that I knew, and then there was literally nobody else in the cinema, and it was, you know, late at night and stuff. So we were just chatting, and we could say what we wanted and do what we wanted in the cinema. So but when we went to Japan and we saw the movie From Up on Poppy Hill, which was a Miyazaki Jr. movie. So I don't know if you know the Studio Ghibli movies.
I'm not the biggest fan. I'm familiar with them.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So Hayao Miyazaki's son made this really beautiful movie. But of course, it's in Japanese. We're watching it in Japan. There's no subtitles. But it was a great thing to watch. If you're going to watch a foreign film without subtitles, watching an animated movie is the way to go, because it has it's so much visual storytelling, and there's less reliance on dialogue than there would be in most movies, you know. So it was just sumptuous, beautiful animation and that great kind of Ghibli feel. So we were quite happy to sit there. And of course, what we were talking about before, about me not being the sharpest at picking everything up, and when I first see a movie, my wife picked up on the actual beats of the story much better than I did. She was looking at all of the clues there, because there's this these two teenagers meet each other, and there's this huge connection between them, and he keeps thinking he's in love with her and flirting with her and stuff, and it never quite happens. And then they find out, you know, they're brother and sister. So it's a bit like a Luke and Leia situation. And Darina had picked up on all that, and it was fun trying to piece together the story and again learning the language. We had learned little bits of Japanese because we were there in Japan on our honeymoon, and it was nice trying to, you know, pick out the little, you know, domo arigatos and arigato gozaimasu and all that stuff, you know. So that's all. Not really a story, just the idea of cinema around the world and you know, having cinema filtered through some other culture.
Cool, very good. So you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can go straight to malkovichminute.net, and you'll find a Twitter link and a Mastodon link and a Matrix link that nobody ever goes to, but I'm going to keep it up there. And and you've got a backlog of 25 to enjoy, and whenever the hell the rest come out, they come out.
All right, great. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcast you might be using to listen to this show. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Twitter, find me on Facebook, or you can go to my website. And once again, this week, you can actually go and find episode number 73 of the Silverado Minute and listen to me and my good friend Todd Liebenau of the Forgotten Filmcast, where we talk about Minute 73 of Silverado, which is a group Movies by Minute project that Jim O'Kane set up this year. We're almost, I guess, we're probably at the halfway point, maybe a little beyond the halfway point of the movie. So you can go and find it on silveradominute.com and have fun with that. So until tomorrow, you're fine.
You're fine. That's great.